Blog Talk Radio.
The Eternal Dragon has granted a wish that could destroy Earth.
The world will be ours!
After half a century of imprisonment, Dr. Willow is free. Only his evil brain has survived.
Who is the strongest fighter in the world?
To take over the planet, he needs the perfect vessel for his brilliant mind.
You're crazy if you think I'm gonna let you get your hands on my brain!
Your body belongs to me!
He needs the world's strongest fighter. Goku said, give it to him.
I know he's still alive.
Even after all of that?
Go and attack the intruder!
Tsunami presents a special one-hour Dragon Ball Z movie, The World's Strongest. Next, only Tsunami.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
Tristan Walter.
Yeah, all right, you heard our extended intro. That is the original, one of the original promos for DBZ World's Strongest. So, yeah, that's what we... what we do here. We review movies and stuff. Yeah. So, did you like World's Strongest, Tristan?
Yes. Yes, I did. Although, did anyone notice anything
all
different
right,
about the promo?
Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we're done, everyone. All right. I like it too. All right, let's go home.
Well,
in a record podcast, Matt Marrero and Tristan Walter finished in 2 minutes, and everyone was completely satisfied. That describes my sex life. Anyway, moving forward. So that movie, the fights, those were great, weren't they? Yeah, forgetting that joke. Those the fights were great, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I've broken Tristan, everyone.
Damn it, man.
Wouldn't be the first time. But, here's the thing. So, rewatching the movie, I know that you were able to see some clips from the Ocean Dub. I saw Ocean Dub when I was a child, so I didn't jump back into it yet. I do have it on VHS, though, which is kind of funny. But the DVD version that I have is the Funimation version. So I was seeing that. But, I think the dubs are pretty cool for DBZ. In this case, it wasn't like the Garlic Jr. saga. You know, this one was fairly – well, no, because that dub was – it's not even the actors that were bad. Just they use a lot of random puns and stuff that clearly weren't there in the Japanese.
Right.
Yeah, that would kind of change characterization up a bit. But in this case, it was like, oh, everything was nice. You know, it was just a nice, fun movie with cool martial arts before they really started doing the whole let's fly around thing and shoot things.
Yeah, I think it was probably, you know, the right kind of blend of – oh, look, Goku has amazing superpowers now and, you know, martial arts between everybody else.
Most definitely. No, I was a big fan of, I mean, heck, you can tell what the fight scenes are great because most of them made it into the American opening. You know, the American
yeah.
Rock the Dragon opening. Most of those, it's funny how the opening came out before we saw most of the movies. If you were American born and raised, you possibly saw Tsunami, and on Tsunami there was, you know, Dragon Ball Z, and the Rock the Dragon opening had a lot of clips from the films, but we had not seen them yet. So we're sitting here thinking, oh, these are some really cool fight scenes. They just must have made them for it or whatever. See the movies? Oh, that's where that's, oh.
Yeah. Oh, I would always sit there and go, wait a minute, I haven't seen that. Where's that from?
Yeah, exactly. And then see and just the movie pops up. It's like, oh, well. Like, it felt so weird. It's like, here's a new movie. That doesn't seem new. I've seen the clips for a year previous. I don't think that's new.
Technically, that's not new.
No, but it was still great, though, because I know we mentioned on our first DBZ podcast, Satish and I, we mentioned how, you know, back in the day it was really cool seeing these things on TV. And it's just such a great experience as a child, I think, where, especially as an American child, where in Japan they had to go to the theaters to see this film.
Yeah.
And we were just able to just plop ourselves down.
That's true. I think...
No, but what were you going to say?
No, like... through the promo at the beginning, I think this was one of the movies that I may not have seen on Toonami. Like, I think this one might have actually come on before I started watching Toonami.
Oh, well then. That makes me sad on the inside. Actually, I don't know, because here's the thing. It's one of those things where I don't even know, okay, because Toonami picked it up apparently when I was 7 in 1999, so I assumed that I saw it as well, as many probably, you know, everyone else did, while the show was airing. But at the same time, I don't even know, because I think these movies air around 2000, 2001, so there's a chance that I saw them live. I just don't remember if I saw them live or I saw a replay of them live, if you know
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Where, you
know, yeah.
Yeah, because they replayed the show so many times. I mean, technically, this show was being dubbed in 1997 while we were 5, before it was even being promoted on Toonami.
Right.
Yeah, I saw the video you sent me. Tristan sent me videos about, yeah, did you know voice acting? And I was looking at many of the things that I knew, but I think the dates are really what really strikes me, because, you know, when you're a child, you things kind of just blend all together. So it's really nice to get some dates and go, wow, so I must have been this age. And, you know, because I saw DBZ on Toonami. That was my first exposure to it, as I'm sure it was to you. Yes. So, you know, but I think these movies, though, are just very, very cool and interesting, because, I mean, obviously, the canon, you know, canonicity, canonity, whichever, where this fits place in the story is definitely up to debate.
Oh, those are always fun.
Oh, yeah, no, those are always fun. I mean,
I know we've taken, you know, hours out of our nights, like, looking,
oh, yeah,
where does this fit in the series?
No, it's funny. I think the only one, I want to say that the only one that definitely fits, so you can sit there and go, yep, that one, is the first movie. Everything else has something wrong with
it. Yeah. Well,
if you think about it, I mean, we're not going into the other movies now, obviously. We're just hitting the second film. Just hitting the second film. So Gohan is trained with Piccolo, right?
Yep.
Piccolo has died, because in the movie, depending on what version you see, the English version, sadly, they weren't able to. It's very interesting. The English dub was either not able to get the rights for the song, or did not feel as if they needed to re-sing the song that Gohan sings about Piccolo and studying and things like that. Either they didn't think they could re-sing it, or they didn't want to. Hey, that's a lovely song, actually.
Or they didn't want to.
It's adorable. What? No, that song is adorable. Granted, you're on cat drugs. Whoever made that was on cat drugs. But it's adorable. Because it's literally the mind of a child. Like, I don't know if you remember, Chi-Chi was, like, crawling like a bug in the background at one point. And you're sitting there, it's like, that's just what he thinks about his mom. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's like my mommy, and she's like, she's creepy. You know, like, it's adorable. But anyway, so Piccolo had to have
cheeky for her mother, we wouldn't have made it this far.
Yeah, no. So you have Piccolo having to train Gohan and die, yet for some reason they're not in space yet. Where does this movie happen? I don't understand anything. Obviously, again, they weren't made to fit into canon, but it's just really interesting because it's just, no, but it's just, it's interesting because, like, okay, I guess if it was to say, oh, here's a movie coming out in the theaters, we all feel as if it's like, oh, yeah, of course it's not made to fit into canon. It's in movie theaters, you know, whatever. But to American audiences, we only got them on TV. So we're sitting there. And I think as kids, we didn't really notice. But when we got older, we got confused because we're like, oh, we're watching this on TV, and it's just an episode. And wait a minute. Has Piccolo's clothes, but at the same, which sounds creepy out of context, but Gohan has the same clothes as Piccolo. And then, they're not in space, and Goku's not. Why is Goku not dead? Like, it just really just starts to, and it's like Goku's power only extends to Kaioken, not Kaioken 30,000. Or whatever he hit with Vegeta.
Okay.
I believe he hit Kaioken 5 with... According to the games, I believe he hit Kaioken 5 with Vegeta. Kaioken times 5?
I believe it was times 4.
Because
they actually do that in the movie, too. That's what he beats Wheelo with.
Okay.
Which,
right.
Well, doesn't beat him, but, you know, knocks him into space with it. Which actually brings up the question, does Wheelo have a similar power level to Vegeta?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that. It's like, could Wheelo... I want to know if one of the games have done that. Could Wheelo fight Vegeta? Tune in to the question you never thought you'd ever think of. Yeah? Tune in to the question you'd never asked on this episode of Dragon Ball Z. Well, I don't know. Maybe he can. Maybe,
tune in next time on Power Levels Are Bullshit.
Yes. But in an alternate timeline, Wheelo kills Vegeta. Slaughters him. Yeah,
oh, God.
Slaughters. Vegeta is defeated by a giant brain. New to the letter.
Wheelo takes over the Earth and takes Goku's body. Spoilers.
Yeah.
If you haven't
Wheelo
seen
takes
it already,
Goku's body, which body is then being taken over by Ginyu. Ginyu takes over Wheelo's Goku's body.
What? Oh,
Dr.
God.
Wheelo is stuck in Ginyu's body. Just with that, imagine that voice, just that deep, raspy, computerized voice in Ginyu's body.
Well, I'm not going to sleep.
I've now broken Tristan again. I'm so sorry.
Speaking of breaking people,
if you want to also break Tristan, please call at 718-664-9468. The number, The number is 718-664-9468. Definitely call in. We'd love to hear your opinion about the movie. And break Tristan.
I hate
just
you
do
so
it.
Much.
It's very fun. It's kind of easy. Maybe just for me, but definitely. You hate me, don't you?
I've only said it 3 times.
Yeah, only, right? That's not so bad. Keep it going. But seriously, though.
Just do it in the background the entire time?
Yeah. The entire time, just playing a little soft audio, just like, it's for people that hate themselves and they just want to, like, listen to it in their sleep to subconsciously just, like, reaffirm it. It's like, is there anything playing, Tristan? No, not at all. No. But seriously, though, so, all right. So this movie obviously meant a lot to us, you know, as kids anyway. The song was very adorable, but if you saw the American version, that's what I was getting to before, they don't have the song dubbed, which is very interesting. Like, it's just the instrumental. And then you play the Japanese version, and it's really cute, because it's like he's literally saying, like, Piccolo, like, I love you, because, like, you're like a dad to me. You're like, you gave your life for me. And he really did. Like, if he didn't give his life and Gohan died, that would have been really bad for the story, I think.
Yeah. Like father, like son. Oh.
Yeah, right? Basically. Oh. Just Goku's just like, awesome, it's my son. Wait, no, it's my son.
No.
Like, in the afterlife. Awesome, it's wait, no, this is bad.
Wait, this is bad.
Not a good thing.
Hey Gohan, how you do? Oh.
Having the time of your life? Oh.
Oh. The good part is Chi Chi can't nag us about it now.
Yeah, right? You know, it's like, what can she say now? You know? But
they're using Gohan just to influence kids to study.
Oh, definitely. I mean, no, but that's the thing is, actually, though, I would argue that they actually are trying to at least make kids feel like they're the boss for not, you know, because the kids have to study in Japan, right? Like, they're
pretty much
forced to. It's kind of bad. But, like, it's worse than it is here, you know. But so what I feel is that what they do in these movies is, of course, they have to say, oh, yeah, the kid has to study, and they're going to make Chi-Chi be that mom. But they also make her, like, as a joke character, I think. Like, I feel like the kids are supposed to laugh when she says, my son is becoming a delinquent. It's like he fell asleep. He's becoming a like, basically, it's like, you know, it's like he fell asleep. It's like Chi-Chi fell asleep. Well, he was snorting coke. Oh, well. You know, that's how she was, like, you know, they're like, oh, we fell asleep after doing hardcore drugs.
See, that's,
like,
the kid's alive. I don't know.
Because remember, Goku's like 5 at that point.
Well, yeah. I mean, those scenes, I don't know, it still always kind of annoyed me because I would sit there and go like, why? What did he do?
That's the thing. It depends. Yes, it's meant to annoy you, but in a way, it's meant to be like a parody. I feel as if it's meant to be a parody. If you're from Japan, I feel like you were just like, really, you know, kind of like you can chuckle about it because you know, that's how the stereotypical, you know, mother is meant to be. You know, where she's like, oh no, you have to study, you have to do this, you can't slack off. So you know, Gohan, it's like, and it's even better for the kids because they can live through Gohan because he's the ultimate slack off. where it's like, oh, he isn't just slacking off just to be like, oh, you know, I'm going to play video games. No, he goes off to save the world.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just really, you know, it's really cool.
See,
I mean,
anyone else?
I don't know.
That, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. It's weird, though. For me, I don't know why I didn't connect with Gohan. Not that they didn't like Gohan, obviously, because who doesn't like Gohan, right? But as a kid, I was just sitting there going, oh, yeah, Goku's the main character. Goku's awesome. Not, I feel as if I resonate myself, you know, within Gohan. I feel like I am just one with him.
Yeah.
But I assume you felt that way, though, because you're a big Gohan fan.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I was probably in the same boat. I was always, you know, focusing on Goku. But I think it was more the older I got, the more I started to look at Gohan as he developed through the series and basically how
right.
Goku is definitely the main character of Dragon Ball. And he still plays a huge role in DBZ. Well, Dragon Ball Z for us, but
yes,
DBZ is basically the story of how Gohan grows up,
which I think
really
is which I think is very interesting when you think of, you know, if you were born in, you know, growing up with Dragon Ball, the original. Well, we can still say Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z because Dragon Ball Z is the anime. You know, the anime does consider it Z. So when you grow up with Dragon Ball, you grow up with Goku, and you're like, oh, so if you're a kid, you're like, oh, I grew up with Goku, and then you either move on or you continue with the series. If you're like us, where we grew up with DBZ, you grew up with Gohan. And that is a very interesting kind of, you know, comparison where it's just, you know, depending on when you were born, you could relate more with Gohan as you grow or with Goku.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you know, it's very, very interesting. So speaking of the DVD, do you have the DVD by any chance? Definitely go out and get the DVD if you don't have it yet, by the way, listeners. But do you happen to have it or no?
For World's Strongest, yes, I do have it's definitely a Funimation dub, but I do have it.
Oh, but which one is it though? Because I have the one that's the uncut Funimation dub, which has like three audio tracks.
I think it's an uncut version.
Is it the one with Japanese writing on it?
Well, yes, I believe so. It's part of
there
was a DVD release that they called the First Strike Pack, and it has the first three movies in it, and I believe they have uncut versions.
I bring it up to the audience only because there are three different audio tracks on there, and it's very interesting to see where they have, you know, where we've gotten to the point with anime dubbing where we can have the Japanese, obviously the Japanese with English, you know, subs, obviously. But we can also have the English audio with an English, you know, audio track on it, meaning audio is in, you know, the background music and everything, and then have an English dub track with the Japanese background music, which is very interesting to hear. I mean, I would like to ask you, which one did you listen to? Did you listen to the original music, the older music, or in Japanese?
Well, I probably went through it in phases. Like, I'd probably watch the complete English version first,
yes.
And then I'd watch the Japanese, and I guess
right.
if I felt like it, I'd watch the English with the Japanese audio.
Well, yes. No, I meant this time around, though, because obviously both you and I rewatched the movie to make sure that we, you know, we're up to date on it. I watched the English version with the Japanese, the background music behind it, because I'm a big fan of it. I mean, I know I've mentioned that I love Bruce Faulkner before, but currently I think in movies, you know, movie form, I'm a really big fan of the Japanese music. I love it sets the tone. Like, music really sets the tone for this series, where you're either really pumped up or you're feeling very serious, where it's, you know, the Japanese version, it's very serious, and you always feel like, you know, tension. Sometimes when
right.
watching. Yeah.
Yeah, I
so
believe
which version
I
did you get to see this time?
I believe I watched the same version this time around too, with the English dub and the Japanese audio.
Yes. Yeah, I'm such a huge fan of that music. I don't know why. It's just something, like, I remember once during, I know we're not going to stick too much on this movie, but back in the second Broly movie, where in the end of the movie, they have this, like, it's kind of like, you know, oh, the cavalry is here kind of music. And in the Japanese audio version. And I'm a huge fan of that because it makes you feel like wow, like, you know, it's like, yeah, like, it makes you feel pumped, but in a different way, not in the usual rock way that we usually feel back with some of the older movies when we first saw them. you know, and right. it's a really cool way, because, you know, because I've really never heard those kind of instrumentals in most, you know, of the American versions of, let's say, DBZ, where, you know, they try to stick to more of a either rock or kind of like a techno, like synthesized kind of sound. So it's really interesting to hear like these horns and these trumpets.
Yeah, that's true. It is definitely a difference. But
Definitely. So, all right, so let's see. So we've talked about the fights. Right, we got the fights. We got down our dubs. We checked that off right there. All right, we checked off. Did we like it? We did. We checked that off. Their plan, Dr. Wheelo's plan. Now, I don't know about you, but, and again, I know we've made the joke about it being Japan and everything and what they do, but on a real serious / you know, joking note, kids movie, just blatantly saying, hey, you know what we should do? That whole genocide thing. right there, just kind of coming out and saying it, just going, hey, so, you know, we love, you know, we want to entertain our children with mass genocide. Like, all right, I mean, if that's what you want to do, Japan.
I know you've seen a lot of Sentai.
Yeah.
I don't know, just comparing it to DBZ, do you think they have, like, similar themes? Like, because they're, you know, Power Rangers is also a giant, you know, a huge kids audience, and don't they destroy the city every time?
Fair enough. Not every time, but fair enough. I do see what you're saying here, but it's a bit interesting where I think in the American dub back in the day with the original cut ocean dub, I'm pretty damn sure that they didn't mention, like, they mentioned they wanted to take over the world, and they wanted Goku's body to do it. But I am 95% sure that they didn't make that random reference to that city that exploded. Because that's what gets me currently, where you sit there and you're like, wait a minute, like, it's like, you know, so like, it's like, oh, you remember that city that exploded? It's like, oh, it's like, yes, the government said it was this, but, you know,
that was,
you know how they try to cover things up. And it's like, what am I hearing right now?
No,
you know, that's
what
really got me, where it's just like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but they just sat there and said, hey, we just killed people, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, that's funny. Like, I remember that clip, too, and it brings to mind the question. Because in the beginning of the movie, Ko-chan, you know, Dr. Wheelo's right-hand man, uses the Dragon Balls to melt the, you know, ice and glaciers around their lab so he can get in.
Yeah.
But they can use, I'm assuming, some kind of super laser or maybe even Wheelo's powers himself to res an entire city. So what comes to mind is, why didn't you use it to melt the glacier?
No. You misunderstand. No. It was just, okay, it was just, it was from the sounds of it, again, I could also be wrong. The way the movie was set up, it was just the doctor. No, like, he somehow got himself free, but he did not do any experiments. He used the dragon to melt the ice. Once he was met up with his, you know, his buddy, his mentor, that is during that week when they blew up the city. You see, there's a span of time between Gohan leaving and coming back, I assume.
Yeah, no, there
like,
is. It definitely feels
so it didn't
like
happen
that.
In 2 days. It could have happened in about the span of a week.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Although,
it's
funny, it kind of feels like such a dick move. I mean, I know Oolong kept telling Gohan, oh, you can't tell anybody what we saw, and, you know, even Gohan, when he falls asleep and he wakes up and he's like, gee, I wonder what happened to Mr. Piccolo. It's like, I know he kind of, you know, disappears off on his own, but I probably would have mentioned that.
No, but the kid is five. Oolong's a jerk. It's like, don't mention it because of panties, Gohan. Like, it's literally his excuse. Panties, Gohan. You'll understand when you're older. And Gohan's older now, and he's like, honestly, Oolong, you're a dick.
You're a dick.
Like, Gohan's grown up now, and he's like, you know what? I don't understand. You're kind of an asshole.
And unless you saw Dragon Ball, you actually didn't get that reference.
Which
like with Oolong's wish.
Which, by the way, thank you so much for bringing that up, because not even, basically, unless you were Satish Ram, who, while he, you know, isn't able to, you know, be on the dais with us tonight, we'll call it a dais, why not, right? Well, he isn't able to be on the podcast with us tonight, still, he saw it a bit later, so he didn't get to watch it when he was a kid, so he could you know, he could have seen it from the beginning of Dragon Ball, or at least had people talk to him about it. You and I saw DBZ when Dragon Ball hadn't been shown in America, at least in a way where we could get the reference. Because it had been, you know, people had dubbed it and tried to dub it, but it never really hit, you know, took off until. So we only saw DBZ. So little things like that, like little things where, like, let's say, like, Raditz, or not even Raditz, other people were like, Goku, you have a son now? And it's like, now? Like, were there things before?
There was a time before?
Yeah.
Or, so, like, remember when Piccolo used to be evil? Wait, what?
Yeah, like, you felt as if you weren't seeing the whole picture, but there are movies and shows that do that, you know, where it's like, oh, remember this, remember when this happened? So you kind of can see where they're coming from. But at the same time, like, if you had watched it when you were, like, 15, you'd just seriously be sitting there like, what the fuck am I watching? You know, like, this doesn't make, you know, like, I don't, like, why are they making references to things that I shouldn't, you know, that I should know about?
Yeah, because I think I remember just, like, sitting there and, you know, like, what are you going to wish for, Oolong? And then he just starts laughing, and it's, like, this really creepy face. And then you just see,
I assume on the cut version they did not show panties.
Right, yeah, it was something like the world's most comfortable pair of underwear or something, and it was, like, a pair of shorts, I guess.
Well, yeah, or at the very least, I don't think he even had, like, an actual, like a flashback. I think he just said something, like, and he just did that creepy laugh, and I was like, all right, you're still kind of weird.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm missing something here. I'm, you know, 7, and I can still tell that.
Yes, I'm 7, and I can still tell that something is not right here. You know, this is not... Yeah, but speaking of Sentai, you did bring it up before. I would like to close that up. The thing about the destruction, though, which may make it worse, they don't really bring much attention to it, and I think they don't bring much attention to it in a way where it's like, oh, we stepped on someone, right? Like, I think once the robot actually stepped on a guy or a girl. I did see the series, and it was also meant to be a dark series anyway, so it was okay, sort of. Like, it aired in prime time. But most of them, you know, the ones that are really, you know, four kids, whatever, they don't really, like, you know, they might show destruction, but you safely assume that the city was evacuated beforehand.
Evacuated, yeah. They don't really go into, stepping on people as we do this.
Yeah,
and we don't care.
Exactly. It's not about the light. But the movie, but, you know, this DBZ movie, World's Strongest, literally said, you know, it didn't say, like, yes, it didn't say, we killed these people, but it said, hey, you remember that explosion? Yeah. Well, you know, that was our beam. The government tried to, to cover it up, but they said it was a gas explosion. Whatever, that was us. So they didn't say the words, we killed, you know, X amount of people.
Right.
But they killed X amount of people. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah. Not to mention the inhumane experiments that, you know, Bulma enlightens us about, and if you really think about it, where did Ko-chan's Bio Warriors originate?
Yeah, all I can hear, when I don't know if you're a fan of Stephen Lynch. Are you a fan of Stephen Lynch? He's a comedian who sings. Like he makes songs.
Yeah,
all I hear is, I think you're a Nazi.
That's
all I hear. Like, you know, I think something isn't kosher. Ah, I didn't mean for that to be a pun. But I think something's a little off here with this guy. Like, he didn't have a German accent, which is actually a bit upsetting. You shouldn't have, like, a German accent or something. No, honestly, I mean it. You should have, because that's clearly a Nazi reference. No, but it's true.
I understand where you're coming from, though, yes.
Yeah, because it's like, think about it, this too, like, his name could have been, like, you know, like, Dr. Raichi, which is actually the name of a guy in, like, it was in the DBZ OVA, right? He could have been, like, Dr. Raichi, assuming Japanese, right? But no, his name is Dr. Wilo. Now, yeah, it's not like some German name, but still, it's in a name that is meant to be foreign. And then it's just like, you committed inhumane experiments against people in trying to make mass genocide. This seems strangely familiar. But I can't put my finger on it. Yeah. But it's like freaking might as well have been the third movie. Dragon Ball Z, Third Reich. Like, honestly, it was just like, what? No. I understand why you'd react this way, but that's what they just did.
No,
you know,
no.
Thankfully, as kids, the dub was just like, no, take over the world, that's all. Like, just simply legit. Like, no death involved, just take over the world. Because you're right, though. They're bio-warriors. Like, as a kid, you're like, oh, no, they were genetically engineered. Like, they weren't genetically engineered. They were made as robots, right? That's how you think of them as children, you know, when you're a child. But then,
right. Yeah.
You get older, and you're like, wait, no, genetically engineered. That means via people, right? They're made of people.
Yep. And he actually says it later in the movie, like when they captured Roshi and they defeat him, and Goku's coming in, and he says, you know, give me back Bulma and tell me where Master Roshi is. And he says, Ko-chan alludes to the fact, well, oh, I was just getting him set up for my new experiment. And it's just like, oh, God.
Yeah, right? Like, would that, if the experiment happened, would that have made Master Roshi more relevant in the future? Would he have been stronger? Would he have been able to fight Vegeta? Stay tuned for this new alternate universe DBZ episode in-game.
Oh, God.
They're going to do that. They're just going to get to the point where they're just going to, like, not just, you know, yeah, they're just going to not really, you know, have anything. So, like, what are we going to do? Dr. Wheelo fights Majin Buu? Fund it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
just,
God.
Majin, what?
I'm just imagining now what he would look like if he absorbed him, and not, like, the metal suit or anything, just his brain.
Just the brain. No.
It's just like, you know, either like Fat Boo or Super Boo with this overly sized, like, brain.
Oh, no, I just imagine just a giant pink brain with the antenna just flying around.
Oh,
just zipping around.
Jesus, terrifying. Oh, God.
Just
in
Walter
cannot
speak
about that
because of this podcast.
Oh, I can see it now. Oh, why, Matt? Why?
If you want to give us other stupid fusions or absorptions, please call us at 718-664-9468. 718-664-9468. Do this, because why? Why not, right?
Oh, God. But speaking of Roshi...
Speaking of Roshi...
I mean, even the joke, I don't know if the joke translates to any of the other versions, but I know at least in the Funimation dub, where Roshi goes, well, there was one thing I liked about Dr. Wheelo. He thought I was the strongest man in the world.
Yes, that is. Well, you know, that was also a really, really interesting thing, where it's like, yeah, 50 years ago, he was the strongest guy in the world. Honestly, if they were to ever do a, you know, like a prequel or something, I would definitely enjoy to see Master Roshi in his prime.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
because
actually,
I think that, you know, what are you saying?
There are a few episodes in, like, the Dragon Ball, the Funimation dub, where you actually see Roshi as a young man. I think probably filler episodes. I could be wrong.
Definitely filler, but that's still very interesting because it's all filler. But I would really enjoy to see more of that because I think that, you know, he's just really a really interesting character. I mean, to see the young adventures of Lecher Master Roshi would be very interesting because, you know, obviously, because there was a point where he just fought with martial arts. Like, maybe he had a Kamehameha, but that was the thing, you know. Like, that was the new thing on the street. You know, it's like, whoa, man, he can do energy beams and stuff.
It's like, that was the trump card back then. None of this, you know, Super Saiyan or... or spirit bomb bullshit.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I just fired a Kamehameha wave.
So yeah. No, now if Krillin freaking sneezes or farts, a Kamehameha pops out. Like, if he isn't too careful. Like, that's what it's come down to.
I mean, if you really want to, you know, gauge the bar here, Yamcha can use the Kamehameha wave.
Yeah.
There
was a time when Yamcha really trained, but at this point,
no,
yeah,
it's true. He really, he did. He was a contender in Dragon Ball, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand, but now it's just like, yeah, what are you guys doing here? Oh well. So yeah.
That's another thing actually. I actually wanted to ask you a question, because when they capture Roshi and they, you know, bring him to Wheelo's lab and he fights the Bio Warriors, I know he eventually loses because they basically, you know, it's 3-on-1. And, you know, not for nothing, Roshi is still powerful, yes, but he is getting older. And,
of course, these guys have
electricity and ice and, you know, the one that can't be broken through because he's a giant freaking marshmallow, as Goku put it. But if Roshi had powered up to max power, do you think he could have beaten them?
No, because the series always shows you that even though you have max power, he would have lost his speed. So that right there is just like, yes, he would have been stronger than at least maybe one of them, or maybe even two of them. Not combined, but at least separately. But all of a sudden, now you just have this issue of, you know, it's like, all right, he has max power, but his speed would be very slow, and they would easily outmaneuver him, and that right there means that eventually they would wear him down.
Yeah, that's true.
But I do admit, though, that, like, you know, the whole max power thing is something they use a lot in DBZ, and it's really awesome because, you know, it's like, oh, he's a lot stronger. But they show you, I love Akira Toriyama, because he shows you that that doesn't mean everything.
That's true.
And I think that's, you know, a really nice kind of, like, theme of the series. It's like, no matter how strong you can get, you need to focus on your other abilities as well. You know, only strength does not a man make.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's something really cool with this, you know, with this show. And you know, it really shows you, like, be more than just that big guy.
Yeah. Well, I think I pointed something out like that in the Garlic movie, too. Garlic Jr., you know, he hulks up into this giant demon, and in the movie and even in the saga, you know, Goku and Piccolo get serious, and they can still beat him because they're better fighters. And Piccolo even says in the filler saga, he goes, oh, you buffed up? Hey, look, I can do that too, and I can do it better.
Yes, exactly. That's pretty much what happens, and it's just a great thing to see, where it's just, you know, it's just, because in real life too, you know, even let's say professional wrestling, you can be a really huge guy, but that in no way means that you're actually good in the ring. It just means that you actually lifted weights or even took steroids or something, right? But at the end of the day, it's like, if you actually know, like, you know, certain moves and technical holds, you know, that is what a wrestler makes. So it's like the same thing with fighting, where it's just, you know, I mean, you can be, you know, you can bulk up and be huge, and you're taller than me and everything, but it's like, if I know, you know, certain, let's say, like, jiu-jitsu or things like that, I can take you down easily. You know,
right.
your brute strength means nothing. So there's that. And, yeah, so let's see. So let's check off all the – well, so let's mentally check off all the things we got. And so let's see. So we got the canon, which is – there is no canon. That's all.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the canon for this movie. You laugh. Go home. What do you mean? Go home.
Go home, no. Canon. You're drunk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like the fact that Goku has moves that he fought against Vegeta with. It's like, no, just go home. You're done.
Yeah.
But, and the fact that Goku, I love how, like, Goku just isn't dead. Like, I mean, again, it's for anyone who doesn't know, these movies were made in the summer for people, you know, in Japan who, during their filler, I assume it's probably aired during some filler. So, or even if it was during major fights, it's still great to be like, oh yeah, let's go see DBZ, you know, on the main screen and everything. But after a while, it was just like, all right, so, you know, that's all. Like, yeah, like, that's how I feel like the movie got after, you know, a point. But, we'll talk about that a little bit there. By the way, it's like, yeah, so we got that down. We may be done. We may have talked about... Well, actually, how would we rate this? If you had to rate this movie, how would you rate it?
If I had to rate this one,
yeah.
I'm thinking maybe a 7.
I was going to say the same thing, but I always give things a 7, so I feel weird about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, we gave... I mean, or I think at least you gave Dead Zone a 6, right?
Oh, I think I did. Okay, yeah, this gets a 7. Who's better than Dead Zone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I know I know this is at least one of my friends. This is his favorite Dragon Ball Z movie, so.
Is he around? Maybe he should call in.
Yes, I reminded him profusely.
Oh, good. So I'm happy he's called. We love you, Mike. But let's see. So that's actually, I don't know if any of you know this, that's what I do constantly to people. When I know that they're listening, I'll just be like, you know, be like, hey, call so-and-so. And they're just like, how does he know I'm listening? And I just say, I know everything.
Matt knows everything.
I am, call me the ruler of Earth, such and such.
Yes, you're the guardian of Earth.
Yes. The dub was pretty damn good in this movie. I think only once or twice, I'd say. Because I know we already mentioned the dub, but the actual acting quality, very good. Because obviously this was redone. I mean, originally Funimation didn't do this. Ocean Dub did. So clearly they had a lot of practice by the time they got to this film. And you can see it. It definitely shows. You know, I'm definitely a huge fan of, you know, of just their acting ability. I feel like they just are so comfortable in these roles now that, you know, the humor hits, you know, a lot of things hit. I think the only two things I noticed that were off, like it was like a Bulma line or a couple Bulma lines. And I think it's not Bulma's actress's fault. I think it's more of the, you know, mouth slaps with Japanese audio and things like that. Because sadly, I don't know if you know this, did you know that Japan gives us more mouth slaps? Like,
no,
okay.
I mean,
that sounds weird.
That would probably, that would make sense, I would say.
No, because, okay, well, it sounds weird out of context. What I mean is, they'll dub, okay, even in, if you think, like, oh, this American thing, the mouth slaps are weird. It's like, no, actually, it's like, I mean, yeah, it could be weird too in the American version, but in the Japanese version, they actually don't dub them to the mouth slaps. Sometimes they'll give them extra knowing that America's going to dub it, or assuming, hey, maybe America will dub this. So sometimes there's Japanese shows that are actually the audio seems dubbed, you know, in a weird way, where it's like, oh, that seems a bit off. And then once the American version hits, they're sitting here really pissed because they're like, all right, we have to somehow work this, where obviously the, you know, Japan didn't make this with America, you know, Americans dubbing, you know, in mind. Like, they think they did, but they don't know English, so they can't possibly make this thinking, oh, yeah, this word, you know, these lines will fit perfectly here. So a lot of, I feel like, Bulma's lines felt a bit off.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Just in context, they just felt a little, you know, like, weird.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I guess I have noticed that before. It's weird. I didn't really think of it that way, but yeah, you're right.
No, that's the issue. It's really terrible because it's like if they just did their own thing, it's like, oh no, we're doing it just to, you know, Japanese, you know, words or whatever. Then I mean, yeah, it would be a bit less with the mouth slaps, but still, it would be a bit easier, you know, to like leave things out on, you know, okay, well, we'll do this, we'll do this. When they give us extra, it's like, all right, the audio ends here, but the flap ends here. What are we turning this into?
Right.
So, yeah, it's obviously a very hard process, and I commend them for doing something like that. I mean, even when it's like a fan dub is very hard to do when it comes down to just, even when it comes down to the basics of let's, you know, fill up the mouth flaps. Very hard to do, and it's always going to look a bit off, which is, you know, upsetting. But, that is the process of dubbing.
So it goes.
Something we have for today. I would like to thank all of you for listening. And for all of you for calling in, too. You were great. No, I kid. But definitely call in next time. You know, we really do want to hear your opinion on this. Because, I mean, hey, it's DBZ. We love DBZ. Actually, if you even hate DBZ, call in. I think that's also a very interesting aside. Because I usually don't hear people who dislike DBZ. And when they do, they always say something like, oh, I've only seen one episode. So it didn't, obviously I'm not saying you have to see the entire series to, you know, gauge whether you like it or not, but usually they've only seen it in passing. Like even my girlfriend who's sitting right here beside me, she as a child I think saw it in passing and didn't enjoy it, but now upon actually showing it to her and lending her all the manga and watching the movies, she's a huge fan now. And that right there is a very interesting thing where it's like, oh, once she actually sat down and gave it a shot, it's like, oh, this is very cool. So, but even if you dislike DBZ, definitely call in next time. I mean, I know sometime next week, both Tristan and I, and possibly Satish Ram, are going to be doing the third DBZ movie. What's the third DBZ movie, Tristan? Quiz. The one with Tosh.
Goku's ultimate, no, it's the Tree of Might.
Yeah, no, it's Goku's ultimate summer adventure. Come join us when he doesn't fight at all. Oh, wait, no, that's the Garlic Jr. Saga.
Oh, burn.
That was. There were barely any fights in that in the beginning, and then it kind of, but hey, why are we going on about that right now, right? But so it's the Tree of Might, where all I could think of the entire time is the third movie, the one with Tullis. Well, what's the name, Matthew? The one with Tullis. He looked just like Goku. No, but the actual name of the movie.
He looked like Goku, okay?
yeah, so on that note, we will, so let's see. So you gave this movie a 7. I also gave this movie a 7. And that is the note that we shall leave this on. I am Matt Marrero. And then you are?
Walter?
Oh, yes, you are. Good. Okay, I was nervous. I was like, wait, you're Tristan Walter, right? I've only known you for years.
I left.
Yes.
I'm not here.
All right, everyone.
This has all been a recording. Yeah. It's a recording within a recording.
I have to be honest. That would have been really cool. If this was an entire recording, the entire track, that would just be really cool. Like, wow, like, he's good at that. Like, you matched everything I said, even if I, you matched every little thing I said. Like, wow.
Yep, I'm that good.
Good for you. Yes. Well, either way, so I gave it a 7, you gave it a 7. Collectively, that's a 14 out of 20. I don't know why that matters, but I was going to say, thank you guys for listening to those guys. And we are signing out. Let's go.